Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or you can contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, here's the question of the day. Do you want to learn how to be the best parent you can be? There's only one answer to that, but the process can often be confusing and not so easy to accomplish until today, because I have a guest who has some answers. She is Jean Marie Wilson, the author of Parenting from Your Soul. Jean Marie has been a high school counselor for over 25 years and is a private college consultant at Your Journey to College. She is passionate about helping students find the best college match, as well as helping parents create great relationships with their children during the process and beyond. Combining the experience of raising two daughters and extensive practice in the field of counseling with young adults and their families, Jean Marie was inspired to write a book for parents, connecting practical guidelines for raising children with spiritual ideology, and is titled again, Parenting from Your Soul. She lives on Long Island with her husband and two rescue dogs and helps support animal rescue, a cause that is very important to her, and you can learn more at her website, parentingfromyoursoul.com. And anyone who loves children and rescues animals is always a friend of mine, and I'm so excited to share her with you. So welcome to the network, Jean Marie.
Thank you so much, Pat. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm happy that you're here as well. And I'm always so impressed when people carve out a space in their life to rescue and care for animals. How did you come to add dogs to your family?
Well, animals have always had a special place in my heart. I used to bring home strays as a child all the time. So when my children were younger, we had a dog and we had a ferret and a turtle, and that was wonderful. And then as they got older and actually went out to college, I got a dog each time they left college, and I decided to get a rescue both times because there are so many unwanted animals out there, and they really give us so much love. We give them a home, we give them love, but they give us so much more in return. Mm-hmm. So that really is a big part of my life, and it's a special part.
It really is a special part. I always had various animals growing up, like 13 guinea pigs and mice and rabbits and that kind of thing. But my parents really, my mom especially, didn't really like dogs or cats. And so I grew up my whole life without that kind of a pet. And it was just a few years ago, a little feral kitten found me on my deck. And now I have 11 of them.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
And then I just received a phone call from somebody yesterday, and she said, I have a cat that you need. I'm like, oh, okay.
Might be 12.
Exactly. I've become that crazy cat lady.
There's worse things in life.
Exactly. I'll accept that. Well, now let's get back to your book, Parenting from Your Soul. When was that aha moment when you knew that you had to write a book about parenting?
Well, I do remember it very clearly. I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer years ago, about 7 years ago, and that really shook me up. It really made me evaluate my life because it kind of came out of the blue, and I really didn't have any inkling this was going to happen. And when it did, it made me evaluate what was important to me and what really mattered to me and what I had done with my life so far. So I really looked at that, and at that time, I knew that being a parent was the most important thing to me. And I looked at how I was as a parent and how I thought I did. My girls are in their 20s now. And when I looked at my role as a parent up to that point, I knew I'd done a lot of wonderful things, but I also knew that I could have done better in some areas. And being a counselor for a number of years and parenting, I feel that I know what works and doesn't work. And I really wanted to write a book helping parents become better parents, become happier parents, and raise healthier children, emotionally healthier children, who they have a closer connection with as they grow older. So I had an inspiration, and I just took the time, and I mean, it took a while, but I did put my thoughts together and go through a lot of revisions and editing and, you know, gave a lot of thought to what I wanted to say. But that was my aha moment. It really was something I couldn't not do at that point.
Boy, it's too bad that we wait for something traumatic, like a diagnosis like you did, to think, oh my, what really matters to me? It's just a shame that we all do that. It's not unique to one or two people. We all do that. And it's also interesting that our role as a parent is the biggest job, the biggest responsibility, the biggest beautiful thing in our life. And yet we are not taught to be prepared for that. We just do it and then look back, as you say, have done many wonderful things, but there's so many things that we could have changed.
I
think we can all relate to that. And I found the title of your book very interesting, Parenting from Your Soul. So why did you choose that for the title?
Well, for about the last 10 years, I've been on a spiritual journey. And I've realized there's so much more to this life that we're living than just the surface events, than just, you know, how we go about our day. And I really wanted parents to learn how to parent more consciously, with more awareness, and look at what's really truly important in a relationship and how they can grow and transform within their relationship with their kids. I wanted parents to get in touch with their soul, which I call our intuitive center. It's a part of us that knows what's right for us, the right path to take, the right decisions to make. It knows how to guide us. It knows how to help us be that best parent. So I took some spiritual principles and applied them to parenting, such as how to practice unconditional love for our children so it's not dependent upon their actions or their achievements. I talked about respecting their journey as well as ours through this process, how to practice self-love and self-care for parents, and how forgiveness is so important in all of our relationships, not just with our children, but forgiving each of us for our imperfections and, you know, practicing a lot of acceptance along the way.
Right. Would you say then that the advice in your book is a new way of thinking?
To a certain degree, I would say yes, it is. I think that parents often parent automatically. Like, we don't really give a lot of thought all the time to the choices that we're making or the choices that we have. And that's because we're so busy and overwhelmed a lot of the time. But I think we rely on the advice from others, the advice from what's trending in society or what our doctors or our friends are doing or how our parents parented. And this is all wonderful and helpful. However, it's not always right for us and for our children. So the new way of thinking is asking parents to look more at the big picture, understanding that our children are on this journey. We're a very important part of it, but we're not all of it. They have to live this journey according to their own beliefs and their own values and their own rules sometimes. And sometimes that means we have to let them fall and we have to let them fail. And that's hard for parents a lot of the time. It hurts us when they do that.
Right.
We also have to look at what is healthy love. Healthy love in parenting role is not controlling, it's not enabling, it's not directing. It's supportive, it's loving, and sometimes it's just a matter of accepting versus controlling. So, yeah, it's a new way of thinking and approaching parenting. And if we look at our role from this new way of thinking, we definitely can increase our happiness in children. That's really the bottom line in all of our relationships and all in our lives. It's really what's going to make us happier.
Well, that's huge. And I love that in your book, there's over 40 short chapters. When I say short, there are a couple pages,
yeah,
which make it really digestible for people. And so I think that is a bonus that you did that.
Mm-hmm.
But your chapters, some of the titles of the chapters, Your Children Have Chosen You, Is it okay to get a B? That's a good one. Teaching our children about service. So many excellent chapters in the book, and I wish we had time to talk about them all, but I want to give a couple teasers here so folks head over and get a copy of your book. What do you mean when you say your children have chosen you?
Well, I think that we meet the people we need to in this lifetime in order to grow, to encourage our soul growth. And some of these relationships are fleeting. You might be able to think of someone you met for a very brief time that changed your life or changed the decision that you made. And others are longer lasting. And the parent-child relationship is, of course, long lasting and one of the most important. And what better place within this relationship is there for our growth? So I feel on a soul level that we choose our children coming into this lifetime and they choose us for both of our transformations. In order to grow in areas we both need to learn lessons we both need to. And sometimes that's helping us becoming more accepting, more forgiving, more loving, more patient, more kind, more compassionate. And I think it's for the growth that we both need. So we can think of our children, and if you think of your children, you can sort of come up with ways that they've helped you grow and why it was perfect that you were the parent for them. So I do have a couple examples of students that I've worked with and people that I've known. For example, I worked with a student who was having a lot of emotional problems and practicing self-harm, not in a very good place. And her parents were very busy physicians, working a lot and giving her a lot of support, but not a lot of time. And this student, you know, as I was working with her, she was trying to get the attention of her parents and time from them for them to look at her and really be there for her. And her parents needed to understand that while they were working very hard for her, she needed something else from them. And it was perfect that they were there for each other to learn from each other about what was really important in life, in a relationship, as a parent, as a child. And they did. They worked through that, and they both were able to grow from that. The child was able to learn that self-harm was not a necessary choice. There are other ways to communicate with you. There are other ways to coping skills.
Well, let's talk about some of what I would consider common questions and concerns that parents have. I raised two lovely girls, and I often apologize to them, reminding them that they didn't come with instructions and that I was doing the best that I could. And you kind of alluded to this, one of the most difficult challenges was balancing a career and home life. So my question is this, how does a parent, such as those two doctors, how does a parent fulfill all the responsibilities in their life and still remain present as a parent?
That is a great question and so important for parents to look at. You know, parents are so busy. They're stretched in so many different directions. They're working, they're taking care of homes, they're chauffeuring all over the place, filling many roles, and a lot of times caring for elderly parents as well. So it's really difficult to think that we can do everything perfectly. It's really not fair to expect that we count. But we want to make our parenting count, and we want to make the time that we have with our kids count. And to do that, we have to be present when we're with them. So we can be sitting at a dinner table with our kids, looking at the TV or reading the paper or lost in thought, or we could really be focusing on what they're saying and bringing them into the conversation and looking at the body language and really connecting with them in that moment. So being present when we're with our kids is one way to make the best use of the time that we have with them when it's limited. Showing them that we're really listening to what they're saying is so important. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that parents can do that's really crucial is practicing self-care for themselves. Whether it's eating healthy or exercising or getting enough sleep or reducing unnecessary commitments is really important. Mm-hmm. Saying no sometimes is fine. No, I can't meet this commitment. No, I can't volunteer for this. No, I can't be there at this time. It's important for parents to take care of themselves so they can be healthy and also better parents. And it's a great role. They're being a great role model for their kids as their kids are watching that. It's that their parents are making a commitment to take care of themselves as well.
It's fairly easy to have a close relationship with your child when he or she is young. Mm-hmm. But as they get older and become teenagers, this becomes more of a challenge. And I know that you cover this in your book. So how can a parent then maintain a close and connected relationship with their children as they grow and at the same time still take care of themselves as a person?
Good question. So it is easier when they're younger and everything that we say and do is wonderful and we know so much. But then as they grow, we seem to know less and we're not so wonderful all the time. So how do we maintain that close relationship with them? We have to recognize that change is normal and these transitions that they go through quite quickly all of a sudden are very normal, even though they're not always fun. It seems like we get used to one phase and all of a sudden when we get used to that one, they're on to a next one. So we have to understand that we're going to always love our children, but we might not always like them. It's okay. You know, there are times in our relationships with our kids, especially as they become teenagers or young adults, and we ask ourselves, is this really what I signed up for? Mm-hmm. You know, is this really my child? And we have to understand that these transitions are normal, and there will be tough times. There will be some rocky moments. We want our children, ultimately, to be independent. We want them to get out in the world. We want them to make choices that are their own, that maybe sometimes we don't even agree with. We want them to live their lives by their own rules. And in order to do that, in order for them to make that leap, they have to leap away from us to a certain degree and detach from us in this transition. That doesn't mean not maintaining a close relationship from us with us. It just means that they have to make their own way, and we don't want to hold on so tightly to them as they're growing that we suffocate them. Mm-hmm. So we have to give them that room, that space, that detachment that they need a little bit in order for them to make their own choices. But along the way, to keep a close relationship with them, we have to communicate. We have to listen. And I think that sometimes parents talk too much and don't listen enough. The most important thing that people want is to be heard. They don't always need a solution to something, but they just want to know that their feelings and what they're going through has been heard and validated by somebody else. And that applies to our kids as well, growing up. We want to be there when they do want to talk, when they do really need us. We want to respect who they are as an individual. And we also want to be in charge of our own happiness and know that as they're growing, our happiness and our purpose in life is not dependent upon them, it's not dependent upon our relationship with them. We have our own path to take as well. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I think are important as kids are young and they're growing up to keep within the family, and those are traditions, things that the family does at holiday time or birthdays or for special events, maybe having a family night each week where everybody gets together and they do a certain activity or watch a movie, and keep them connected to their extended family as well. I think that's really important for kids as they grow.
you said two things that I want to touch on. One was that when someone presents you with a problem or when someone's talking to you, and you were saying how it's so important to listen, and yet you always feel like you need to have that solution. It's like, I know I do that. It's like, you just, maybe you just need someone to sit and listen to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
People sometimes, that's called, you know, holding space for someone. Mm-hmm. People just want to be heard.
Yes.
And sometimes that's enough. Mm-hmm. And you're right. A lot of times we want to jump in and say, oh, you can do this or mm-hmm. this. What if you did this? Or let's do this, or I'll do this for you.
Yep.
But, if, you know, kids especially, they want, that develops trust. When they know that you're there to listen to what they're going through when they need it. And when they do want some advice, they know that you'll be there to listen mm-hmm. and give it a fair.
Right. And then you mentioned Family Night. I remember doing that when my kids were younger, and everybody just bellyached and complained. And
yeah, oh, they loved it.
I think they secretly loved it.
They
but,
did.
Oh, my gosh, what we had to go through to get everyone to sit down.
I know.
Crazy. I love that. Well, now, you were talking about letting children make decisions. How do we know, though, when to allow our children to make their own decisions and when to intervene? I was thinking as you were speaking how sometimes it's you want to be your child's friend. Mm. And how do you know when to be the friend and when to be the parent, and that fine line between being accepting and enabling? How do you figure that out?
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. It's hard sometimes to get distance in order to make that decision because you're in the mix of everything. But there are times when our children will choose friends that we don't always love or make decisions or choices that we don't always love. And we have to give them some leeway there. We can't control every decision they make. Because if we do, they'll never experience the power of choice. Why their choices are important and what the consequences of them are. If we always step in and jump in and make decisions for them or try to protect them. So it is possible to accept their choices even though we don't agree with them. It's not always easy. The fine line comes in when, you know, there's a safety issue or
right.
there's something dangerous, other than hurt feelings or dangerous other than a poor grade or, you know, something real when the stakes are really higher. And it also depends on the child's age, of course, and what's appropriate for that particular age. But I do see parents trying to be a child's friend. And while the child might think this is all wonderful, deep down it creates a feeling of anxiety for them because they don't feel secure.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like all the responsibility is on them now because the parent is not going to step in and set boundaries when they're appropriate. So the child might look like they love this arrangement, but deep down they really don't. They want the parent to be a parent, even though they might kick and scream along the way.
I like that you mentioned boundaries. I think that's something people don't think about. And then boundaries and consequences, that whole conversation. That also leads me to think that your child is going to be doing things that displeases you or that are dangerous or that they shouldn't be doing. And so what does a parent do then when they get angry to avoid saying or doing something that may have long-term negative effects? And I think we can all relate to that.
Oh, we can. You know, it's a terrible feeling when we do or say something we regret later on. We just have this feeling in the pit of our stomach that we really messed up. We did something that we can't take back, but honestly, all parents have done this, and I've done this too. Because we're pulled in so many different directions, and parenting really is a tough job, but we don't want to say these hurtful things that we will regret. So we need to look at what our trigger points are. Like, why do we get to this point of being so angry? What's happening? Are we saying yes to too many commitments? Do we not have enough time for ourselves? Are we scheduling too many things? Are we not thinking ahead about what boundaries are appropriate? And are we not being consistent with them? And so all of a sudden things just pile up and we explode. So when we notice what these trigger points are and when we're getting to this place, if we could get some space from the situation, that would be ideal. If we could take a shower, we could go in the room and close the door and take a few breaths, call somebody and talk to someone, have a mantra that you say. I like to say, this thing shall pass. And if we can, like, put some of those steps into place ahead of time, while we're looking at why we're letting the situation get to that point, that would be helpful. You know, it's not a bad idea even to get into therapy if we find that we're getting angry too much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then that means it's something we're not dealing with.
Right, right. So would that go hand in hand with any advice that you might have for a parent so that they could come to accept his or her own imperfections as a person?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, perfection is an elusive goal. It's never attainable, and it always makes us feel like we are less than. And as we thought about becoming a parent years ago, we had this vision of what this perfect parent would look like. He would be so calm and wise and patient and fun, and we would know what to do in all situations. And we also had an idea about the type of child we would have. Our child would be beautiful and athletic, smart, or compliant all the time. And then when reality converges with this and the rubber hits the road, it's not always as we envisioned. So these imperfections that we have, they make us real. They're raw, they're real, they're true. They're part of us. And it's okay, because we can look at them and say, if this is a part of us that we want to improve, first we have to accept that we have this part and know that it's okay to have all these positive parts of us, but also some that are not so positive. We're a work in progress, just like our kids are. And when we accept these imperfections in ourselves, we accept our child when they're not so perfect as well.
Wow, a lot of learning to go on here.
Always learning, no matter how old your kids are.
I know, and I know there's so much more to cover, but I want to get to something that you're doing. Speaking of learning, you've created a college planning parenting workshop. Tell us about that.
Yes, I have. I just completed the fall workshop series, and it was such a wonderful experience. I'm passionate about helping students find a great college match, as well as helping families cultivate this relationship with their teenagers as they're growing and transitioning on. So the workshop covered college planning information and college application process information for parents, and then our last session was about parenting. And I think that was really the most important part of the series. In the last session, I talked about how parents can use this college process to either weaken or strengthen their relationship, because this is where a lot of the disagreements come into play. There's a lot of stress involved, a lot of decisions involved. And they can use this process to really become closer with their kids. So I talked about navigating all these changes that will go on, how we can look at each parenting situation we come up with and look at it and approach it either through our ego or through our spirit, which is really love. So we can look at all of these different situations and say, you know, am I approaching it through ego, which is guilt and shame, and anger and resentment, and judgment? Or can I take the situation and look at it with acceptance and forgiveness and love and compassion and wisdom? So I went into that, and then I also talked about what's called a difficult child. I have a chapter in my book called A Difficult Child. And there's a child in our lives that sometimes is more difficult for us to deal with, or more confusing for us. We don't know what the best choices are for this child. And if we have one child, sometimes it's just a difficult phase that they go through at a point in their life.
And I was thinking as you were speaking, if depending on the age of the child, your book might even be something to read together or just pull out a chapter and sit with that child and say, hey, let's talk about this. You talked about communication. I would like to
do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would certainly give both parties a place to start.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as a place to start, where can folks then go to learn more about you and to purchase your book, Parenting from Your Soul?
Yes. My website is parentingfromyoursoul.com. And on the website, there's a link to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, where you can find my book. And you can look at my blog and information about upcoming events.
All right. So that is parentingfromyoursoul.com. And obviously, we all need this information, whether it's parents or grandparents or anyone really who's looking after a child. So I highly encourage everyone to share this interview with folks and to get over to Jean Marie Wilson's website. It is parentingfromyoursoul.com. Jean Marie, what a pleasure. I have learned a lot today and wish I could do it over again.
So do I.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Pat.